All right, Kelly Robinson, thank you, and good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful morning across Texas. Might be a little bit of rain coming into our state this evening. Boy, I have been looking at some of the rainfall reports for parts of Texas, and it's due. It is really due. I hope those of you who have yet to hit 1 inch for this year, I hope you get some rain this weekend. Didn't look like that was forecast, but goodness, maybe things will change. That's just not good. Good morning. We're here to talk about the plans at your place, and I hope you'll pick up that phone, give us a call, give us a chance to talk to you. Let me help you with your vegetable garden, your flower garden, your landscape, your lawn, whatever it is you'd like to talk about. That's exactly what we're here for. Excuse the grammar. And that phone number that Kelly Robinson just gave you is easily reached right now. It's as simple as dialing up 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Please do call right now, won't you? And let us have a chance to visit. That's what this is all about. Nick Carissimi is running the boards and answering the phones, doing anything that requires intelligence. And we are all about talking about the plants at your place. And so if you're having some kind of an issue with a plant, or if you just want to talk about something and get a recommendation, give us a call, won't you please? Reading the first call up. That looks like an interesting one. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Just a couple of quick things to mention to you. As your spring flowering shrubs and vines finish their blooming cycle, that's the time to prune them and reshape them. You don't prune those during the winter time like you do most of your plants. You prune them right after they finish blooming. And so across Texas, that's the thing you'd be doing for certain plants right now. It depends, of course, on where you are and what's just about to finish blooming, but just remember that if it blooms in the spring, you probably prune it right after it blooms in the spring and reshape it. You don't have to have boxes out of every shrub or globes out of every shrub that you're growing. That's just not necessary. So if you have forsythias, for example, or if you have flowering quince, don't box those up. Just prune them. If you have erratic branches here and there, those are the ones you want to remove and prune them back into the canopy of the shrub and make them look just a lot better. And you'll be better off for it, and the plants will regrow. Reason you do it now is that gives them all of this growing season to fill back in and be ready for next spring. So give us a call. We can talk about that. We can talk about fertilizing your lawn. Most parts of Texas, the soils have too much of the middle number phosphorus. And so soil tests come back from the Texas A&M Soil Testing Laboratory suggesting that we use only nitrogen, the first number, all nitrogen, and that half or more of that nitrogen be in a high-quality, slow-release, encapsulated or coated form. Your nurseryman can explain that to you. If you go into a big national chain store, odds are that they won't know exactly how to explain it, but a good local independent retail garden center owner or manager certainly will. Look for a Texas certified nursery professional. Those are the people who have the best training, the best background, and probably a whole lifetime of experience of helping. So that would be, you're looking for an encapsulated slow release nitrogen source where half or more of the nitrogen is in that kind of a form. That's enough to get us going. Once again, give us a call right now. Call early in the program rather than right at the tail end. Let's fill up those phone lines right now. Toll free anywhere you can hear me, from the Big Bend country all the way to the eastern shores of the state on the Sabine River and from the Red River to the valley. And the number is the same. Toll free 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. We are live. And we'll get program underway with our first call in just a moment. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book, and I'd love to get a copy of it signed and in your possession within the next 3 or 4 days. I'll be signing books. I signed some early this morning that were bought yesterday, and I'll be more than happy to get your book signed first thing Monday morning and put into the mail system. You'll have it by middle of the week. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is not in stores, and it's not on Amazon. It is absolutely not a redo of my 1991 Complete Guide to Texas Gardening with the Cowboy Boots on the cover. That's the book that you'll find in the stores and on Amazon, and it is a quarter century old, way out of date. You want Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. I self-published this book because I wanted complete control over what I put in it. I didn't want to have to go to committee meetings where they would browbeat me into something less than the ideal book. This is the best I can turn out. 344 pages, 840 of my photographs. It's a hardback. It is printed in Texas on high-quality paper. I didn't send it out of country to be printed. A lot of publishers do that now. I chose not to. It's only available from my website, only by calling my office, one or the other. The website's always available to you at neilsperry.com. The book is only $31.95 plus tax and postage, and your satisfaction with it is completely guaranteed. 11 chapters. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter 2 is a calendar telling you month by month when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. And then chapters 3 through 11 are trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, and then lawns, fruit, and vegetables. A lot of information in this book. I spent more than a year doing it. Spent a career doing it, in fact. And your satisfaction is completely guaranteed. Again, not in stores, not on Amazon. It's available at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Every book goes out of my office signed. If you need to call instead, you can call Monday through Friday, 800-752-GROW with an O. 800-752-4769, or order 24/7 at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. Let me tell you right now about the great people at Mueller. It seems like these days temporary storage facilities are on every street corner, but there is math to be done. For what you're paying in yearly costs for that storage room, you could own your own metal storage building right in your own backyard. How's that happen? Well, with a Mueller backyard building. Their backyard building kits are easy to assemble with bolt-together design, and they're priced right. You keep all your stuff at home, and you're not throwing away money by leasing storage space. Their kits come in a variety of sizes with more than 30 colors from which to choose, adding style to your storage space. If you need a larger storage solution, Mueller's pre-engineered standard series buildings can accommodate almost any need. Whether it's a smaller place for a lawnmower, a place for cars, boats, or even an RV, you can have peace of mind that a Mueller metal building will protect those treasures at a reasonable price. You can see all the options at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call. That's at 877-2-MUELLER, the number 2, 877-268-3553. Mueller, made in America and made to last. More after this message. Thank you, Kelly, very much. And let's emphasize that number. We'll get the phone lines all filled up. This is the time to do that, folks. Little helpful hint to you. This is the time to make your call. Because if you call later, phones may be filled and you may not get on the air. You may not get your question answered. This is the time. 888-256-1080. Please call now. Let's go to Gary in McKinney. Gary, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hi, Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I got a quick question, a clarification. On the newsletter, when you were talking about pre-emergent, and you mentioned North Texas, that the time zone was like March 5th to the 15th-ish. Yes, and so, and you mentioned halt as one of the options in there. So I did go get a bag of halt and put that down. The question I had, though, you mentioned in the newsletter that it was important 90 days later to put it down again. And the question I had was on the halt bag, it mentioned to only apply that twice a year to your yard. So I'm assuming there's going to be another application in the August-ish time frame or something. So is that 90-day one? Is that still okay for me to put that down?
Well, yeah, let me do the best I can to dance around that a little bit. I'll try my best to explain it. First of all, Halts is a national product, and that's a national label. It is not, I don't think they have to change that label for Texas at all. It's made in Marysville, Ohio. The other two products are made in Bonham, Texas, the other two that I mentioned, and Dimension especially, and which is a lot closer to McKinney than Marysville, Ohio, so its information is going to be a little more precise. But I put Halts in because there are a lot of people that just are going to be shopping at the national chain stores instead of at the independent retail garden centers.
Right.
These products have about a 100-day effective life out in the landscape. We have much more than a 100-day growing season for grass burrs and crabgrass. In the north, they have a growing season that is short enough that even if they get some germination late in the season, let's say that the average frost-free date in the upper Midwest, where these are mostly sold and where the label was acquired, let's say that the average date of the last killing freeze is late April, and you'd put it out at that point up there, then 90 days later would be May, June, July, late July, that things could start germinating in early August. But the first freeze up there comes early October or late September, and these weeds don't have a chance to produce their seeds, to become obnoxious, to be a problem. One application is adequate up there for the spring weeds. It's not adequate for us.
Okay, so
we have a longer growing season. Therefore, I feel, and you're sure welcome to try it half and half if you want to, half on your yard in one area and half on the other, where you treat twice and half where you don't, or you just treat the one time. But it's a booster shot. That's how I always refer to it. The second application is useless if you didn't make the first one. But if you don't make the second one, then the first one's going to look pretty useless on its own, because there will be seeds that will sprout in August, or in July. These weeds, crabgrass and grass burrs, love the heat. And so a lot of those seeds just sit there and wait, and their time comes in the summer, and they'll go ahead and sprout. And you're correct. The third application then is for the winter weeds in late summer. And hats off to you for reading a label. You know how odd you are to do that. It's just an American. But that's exactly why that is that way.
Yeah. One last quick question.
Sure.
On staking trees, we have a new house that we've been in for a couple years, and so we have a pretty decent-sized tree that they put in right now. It's about a 4 or 5 inch across the trunk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's staked right now. I wasn't sure how long to keep the stakes in. Is it a couple years and that's good, or what's the rule of thumb for that?
I usually keep a tree staked until I see good vigorous growth on the top, not because it needs that growth to for any particular purpose. It tells me that the roots are functioning, the tree is functioning as a team. The roots, the trunk, and the leaves are all functioning together, and the tree is happy and taking off. At that point, I feel like I can release the stakes. A big tree like that, I'm probably going to leave stake 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Most trees are not quite that large when they're planted, and so 1 to 2 years for most of them. But I think I'd probably leave it staked, securely staked, for 3 years. You have to be careful in doing that, that if it's staked with any kind of cable, that the cable doesn't girdle in any way or through the bark.
Yeah, and it looks like it's got some of the hose or whatever.
Right, but it can still girdle. There were trees staked down on Stacy Road, to use a local reference since we both live in McKinney, that were completely girdled, some crepe myrtles that were completely girdled by the hose. And all that remodeling going on at that shopping center, those plants are gone anyway, but they were about ready to break off from the girdling. So you need to watch that carefully.
Okay.
Just move the stakes, or move the guy wire up and down a little bit if you have to.
Okay. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
Good questions. I love them. Appreciate you checking in. All right. And we have another call. Let's go to Core in the City of Industry. Let me give you the phone line. You can have Gary's line. It is now available for you. No charge. No charge ever. 800-256-1010. 1080. Call right now, please. Cor, this is Neil. Good morning.
I got a question on you. I want to do a vegetable garden, and I'm sure you covered this 100 times, and I just missed it. But I got a lot of grass and weeds growing in the spot right now. Hadn't planted there in a couple years. And I was going to do a ground killer, and I was naturally going to use Roundup. My wife refuses to do that because she said if I want inorganic vegetables, I can go to HEB or Walmart and get them. So is there any form of organic ground killer that
weed killer,
or grass killer or anything that doesn't put anything into the soil outstanding or worth lasting, I guess you could say?
Well, let me tell you what I know, and it's only from a career in horticulture, and please, I have a bias because I worked at A&M, and my father was the herbicide research specialist for A&M for his career, so I watched him work. So I have definite bias, I'm going to tell you right now. And from all that I understand, glyphosate, the plain glyphosate, which is the original Roundup material from 40 years ago, mm-hmm. is totally inactive. I'm not going to try to talk you into it, but I'm just going to try to state a fact or two. The original glyphosate, which is still out there in the market as the original Roundup, mm-hmm. is totally inactive in the soil. It has to go in through the foliage. You could wipe it on with a foam rubber paintbrush and get the same results you would get if you sprayed or with a wick applicator. I mean, it does not have to go onto the soil. It's useless if it goes onto the soil. Therefore, I don't see any way that it's going to contaminate the soil. That's just to have stated that. I'm not going to try to twist her arm at all. I respect her opinion. Some people use vinegar. I don't see a label on vinegar that is measures to my satisfaction that I would ever accept it as an advertising product. And it only burns foliage. It doesn't necessarily kill perennial grasses like Bermuda and Johnson grass. So whether it would work or not, you'd have to decide. The one way that you could kill the grasses would be to cover them with a roll-type mulch. But you've got to get in there and rototill and prepare the garden. And this is swimming upstream against a strong current. The way to do it properly would be in October or late September to cover the area that's going to become the garden with some kind of roll-type mulch like black polyethylene plastic and solarize, mm-hmm. just kill the grass out at that point, rototill it and prepare it over the winter, and then put a roll-type mulch on once the vegetables are up and growing. And you'd get rid of the Bermuda, you'd get rid of the Johnson grass and in the fall before you ever needed to get ready. You don't have time now.
No, it's too late now.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just trying to prepare the garden for maybe the winter or possibly next spring. But when you say a roll type, will that kill the root as well?
If you were to cover an area of turf grass, if you had a lawn area and you wanted to turn it into a ground cover bed or a flower bed or a vegetable garden, and in early September, mid-September, you put black polyethylene plastic down on top of it for 2 months, the Bermuda would be killed. I don't think the roots and the rhizomes would survive to come back. They might, but I don't believe they would.
Okay, great information. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate the call. Thank you, Cor. All right, we will come back and go to Nathan and Brian, our next call up, so I hope you'll stay with us. Let me tell you about Neil Sperry's eGardens right now. It's my free electronic newsletter. It comes out every Thursday night, just a little after 6 o'clock, from my computer to your computer, to your inbox. And I started a little bit this week on what do you do if there is shade and you're having trouble growing grass. How can you get the grass to grow in your landscape, in your lawn? And I began to address some of those issues you can do to things you can do to get the grass to go well. Well, this coming week, and I've been working on this already, we're going to talk about the alternatives to turf grass when you have so much shade that you just can't get the grass to grow. I've worked more on this eGardens. I'll probably put 2 days of work into it. This is a free electronic newsletter, but you must sign up for it. And the way you sign up for it is you go to neilsperry.com. It comes every Thursday. This coming Thursday will be alternatives to grass, to land, to lawns when you have too much shade. But I also will have things to do this weekend, gardening this weekend. I always give you the things that are pertinent on that particular weekend. Been doing eGardens for 16 years. It was monthly for the last 3 years. It's been weekly, and people really enjoy it. More than 52,000 people subscribe to Neil Sperry's eGardens, and you ought to be there as well. Go to neilsperry.com, my website. You'll see the place to sign up. You can see last week's edition right there on the sign-up page. Scroll down. You'll say, hey, I do want to be signed up for that. Neil Sperry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. More after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. And we're ready to go back to the phone lines and give us a call right now. We have a line open waiting for you at 888-256-1080. We can get you on the air and back out in the yard very quickly. 888-256-1080. If you're about to walk into a garden center and want some advice on what the best plant would be, give us a call. 888-256-1080. We are live. We go to Nathan in Bryan. Nathan, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
I might show my need to buy your book here, but I need to know if it's just feasible at all to transplant about a 10 to 12 foot pomegranate. I hesitate to call it a tree. It's growing more like a crepe myrtle, but it's next to our house. I don't know why I planted it there in the first place, but anyway, it's there, and I was wanting to move that thing. Now it reminded me this spring when it's budding out right now that it's growing over our roof line pretty good, close to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bigger bush-like thing than a tree, really.
Yeah, they certainly are movable. They're transplanted all the time. That's a big one, and that's going to take a lot of effort on your part.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide whether it's worth it or not. How big is the trunk, or if it has more than one trunk, how big are the trunks?
12 inches, 14 inches diameter. Probably.
In diameter?
Yeah, you know, just the whole clump of them, it's more than one trunk.
No, I get that, but it's as big as a leg then.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know...
Okay, let me just
pretty good size.
Yeah, hear me out on this because it's going to be a task. If it were a historically important pomegranate, and that's my disclaimer, then ideally when you dig a plant and ball and burlap it, first of all, you do it in the wintertime when it's dormant. Secondly, hopefully it's out in the open where you can dig a ball of soil that is uniform distance all the way around. Not just a semicircle, which you're going to have. It's going to have a soil ball for a 12-inch diameter trunk, a foot through and through. It's going to have a soil ball that's probably 4 to 4.5 feet in diameter. You're going to have heavy equipment to lift this.
Mm-hmm.
That soil ball is going to be probably 36 to 40 inches deep. It's going to be a crater when you dig that out of there. I'm saying if you do that, you have to be mindful of any utility lines that are down there, anything else that's down there. But it can be done. I dug a crepe myrtle that was not that big, but that was quite large and moved it, and it's doing fine, but it was out in the open. Whether you can do this and get it to survive or not, I have no idea. Okay, that's the answer to your question. If this were a historically important and critical, if it were a fifth-generation member of your family that your great-great-great-grandmother grew and brought from Alabama, then that's how you would do it. On the other hand, it can also be rooted from cuttings. If you want to perpetuate that particular plant, you can root cuttings this year and get some new plants started. And then you can abandon this plant and just take it out and have it ground out and move on with life. You could do that at any time once you have the cuttings safely rooted and growing. So those are your two options, and you have to be the one who decides.
More of an opportunity for it to survive. If I did want to undertake that task in the wintertime, though, it'd be too late to undertake it this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. and you're looking at probably 8 hours of hard labor and probably several hundreds of dollars worth of equipment rental and hiring people to come help you. It's a job. You're talking about a major job to move a plant that big.
Okay.
All right. Tried to present the facts. You bet. Good luck with it. All right. Let's see what we have here. Is it RL in City of Melvin? I am totally confused by both. I think we have RL. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
And where are you?
In Melvin, Texas.
Where is Melvin, Texas?
Well, just about in the heart of Texas. Brady calls it the heart of Texas. Brownwood calls it the heart of Texas. You know, it's all around.
And you call Melvin the heart of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm with you now. How can I help you?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I get rid of goat head.
All right. And using bare feet wasn't adequate for you?
No. and the dogs don't like it either.
No. There are a couple of ways that you can. Those are the seeds, of course, for the
right.
Goat heads. And let me explain to other people who are listening what a goat head is. If you if you put grass burrs on steroids and you just pumped them up, they would be goat heads. Goat heads will puncture a bicycle tire. They will ruin a football. They are horrible.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah. Now, there's a difference between there's more than just that that sets goat heads different from grass burrs. Goat heads are broadleafed plants, and so you can use a broadleafed weed killer. What will kill clover?
240.
Yes, sir. Exactly. What will kill clover and poison ivy will kill goat heads. And so when you see the plants starting to grow in April and May, long before they ever have any of the seeds, the goat heads, you can spray them. That's one way to break the cycle is to keep them from producing seeds for a couple of seasons, a couple of years, and then they'll run out of supply line. The other thing is to put out a pre-emergent, which is Gallery.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, but you're probably too late. Gallery is the pre-emergent. Gallery. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's granules, and you'd want to apply it the first couple weeks of March and then the first couple weeks of June where you are. But I think you may be too late. It's been pretty warm, and I'll bet they're growing by now.
And you call that Gallery?
Gallery, yes, sir.
Gallery,
now, it used to be a Greenlight product made in San Antonio, and then Greenlight got bought out by another national company, and their products got folded in and abandoned in some cases. I believe that the people in Bonham, the Fertilome and High Yield people, I believe have Gallery in their product line now, and that's so.
Okay.
If you get into an independent retail garden center, that's where you're going to find Gallery.
Okay. And I'm too late to put it out now, but I can put it out later.
You'd put it out
next spring.
Yeah, there's no point in putting it out if you don't make that first application in early March. There's no point in making the early June application because you already have them. You know, like I said earlier to the other gentleman, the early June application is just a booster shot to reinforce what you put out earlier.
Well, I've tried some Ally. Are you familiar with Ally?
No, I'm not. That sounds like an ag chemical, and I don't work in that field so much. Yeah,
and I don't know. I didn't have much luck with it.
Yeah.
Might have got a few of them, but not. It's a pre-emergence, but...
A lot of the pre-emergence RL are more dedicated to grassy weeds, and they don't do as much a job. The Gallery product was specifically for broadleafed weeds. You know what? In this conversation, short as it's been, I have decided you're smarter than I am. You're going to do fine with this.
Oh no, I'm not. Sure you are.
But the 2,4-D.
No way.
2,4-D. Oh yeah, give yourself credit. 2,4-D is a good start for you, and I would do that this year.
Okay. Well, we've tried that, and I've tried this other stuff. I don't know. We just got enough seed there to last another 100 years.
You probably do. Yeah. One of the things that people don't realize with seeds of plants in Texas is that a lot of them have staying power. I guess it's an evolutionary thing. If you allow yourself to believe that, it's God's way of making sure that all the seeds don't germinate with the first rainfall. There's always a crop waiting in case a drought happens right after that rainfall. And
that's right.
So
that's anyway. About like our wild oats in the field.
Yeah.
Man,
yep.
That stuff's hard to get rid of, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. So. Well, RL, I hope I helped you.
Okay, well, thank you, bud.
Have a good day. Thanks for the call. All right, that opens up his line. It is 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. Want to find a website where you'll find a lot of information? Well, I think mine has a lot of information. I put an entire book on my website, and the book that I put there was my 1001 Frequently Asked Questions. This was a book that I did several years ago, and at the invitation of a publishing house, and I've worked for a year getting this book done and editing it and grunting and groaning to come up with all my questions that I knew people were asking. I looked at all my records. I keep a record of every call. I just put RL's call down. And Paul and Pecos will go down in this next break. I'll write his name down and so forth. And then the publisher went out of business a month later. So I thought, well, rats. And I decided I'm just going to put that on my website. My 1001 Frequently Asked Questions. There it is on neilsperry.com. That's also where you go if you want to buy my current book, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, the only place you'll find it. And it's not in stores, not on Amazon. It's also where you go to sign up for my free Thursday night electronic newsletter. I really hope you'll do that because this week, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be addressing in great detail how to cope with shade. When your shade trees grow up and the turf grass dies away, what do you do? And I'm going to be very blunt in telling you that usually people waste a lot of money trying to get grass to grow in the shade. Well, it's going to be in eGardens this week. All of that you can get and sign up for at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Check it out now. We'll have more after these messages. Thank you, Kelly. And back to the phone lines. We go to Paul in Pecos. Paul, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, my question was, can you grow St. Augustine grass without shade?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Without burning it up?
Absolutely. Every sod farm in Texas that grows St. Augustine is in full sun.
Everybody tells me, well, you need shade for it to grow. If not, you'll burn it, or you know. But you know, I just wanted to make sure.
Well, let me. You can use that same argument I just gave you. That is the one that makes all the logic in the world. What they're confusing, Paul, is that St. Augustine is our most shade tolerant grass. It will survive in shade where other grasses will not, but it grows better in full sun. There's not one sod farm in the southern United States that has trees on it and has St. Augustine on it. It will not grow as well in shade as it will in the sun, but it will tolerate the shade, so when we have shade, it's the one to go to.
Okay.
All right. Good. Appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Rich in College Station. Rich, this is another St. Augustine question. Good deal. How may I help you, sir? Hello, Rich.
Here in College Station.
Yes, sir.
I've got a neighbor that has St. Augustine, and we had Bermuda in our front yard, and the St. Augustine is just slowly taking over. I was wondering if there's any way to stop that and get back to the Bermuda.
There is not any longer. There used to be, and you're not going to be happy with my answer. St. Augustine is the more dominant of the two grasses. And we had the same issue when we lived in Farmers Branch in a neighborhood that had home after home on the street. And our St. Augustine went to our next-door neighbor's walk, front walk right down the middle of his yard, and then he had Bermuda from there on. And we played cards with him every Friday night, and one night I didn't think he cared, not an avid gardener, and he said, "Is there any way to get rid of your St. Augustine? It's half my yard now." And at that point, we had a product called MSMA, which left the market about 6 or 7 years ago, Rich. I think I'm confused. I will admit to being confused. I think there are some commercial. I think there is some limited commercial availability with commercial applicators. I don't know how they get it or how they use it, but for Dallas grass removal and things like that, but it will kill St. Augustine without killing Bermuda. If you have some really good certified applicator or landscape contractors, which I'm sure you do in College Station, you could ask. I just see people using MSM. Maybe they bought enough 6 years ago. I don't know. But I know at the consumer level, it's no longer available.
Okay. Is there, I guess, is there a way then to get the Bermuda or to get the St. Augustine over into the Bermuda faster?
All you have to do is plug St. Augustine into Bermuda. I converted my entire lawn from Bermuda because I was having allergy problems. Every time I mowed my yard, I got a sore throat. And I said, okay, that's enough of that. So I bought St. Augustine sod and checkerboarded it about, they were 6-inch squares, and I put them 18 inches apart on a checkerboard pattern, and it was covered within the first growing season.
Okay.
And I got rid of, you know, it just crowded out all but 1% of the Bermuda grass.
All right, very good. And I've got Zoya in the backyard. Is Zoya susceptible to St. Augustine as well?
Yes. Zoysia will be overtaken by St. Augustine. St. Augustine is the dominant lawn grass that we have. It will crowd any other lawn grass we have. The only two weeds that will move into St. Augustine are nutsedge and Dallas grass. If you have St. Augustine that is invaded by some other weed, then there's something going wrong with the St. Augustine. It either has chinch bugs, or it has gotten too dry, or it has some kind of a challenge going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like I need to throw in the white, put out the
well,
white flag.
Well, talk to a landscape contractor and see if they have access to MSMA at a commercial level. I don't know.
Okay.
I have done days of research, not hours, days of research online trying to figure it out. It's available out of Canada. I can't figure it out. I just cannot figure it out.
My
really good ally that I grew up with and was the best turf man in Texas is gone. We lost him, and I need to find another hero to talk to about that. But anyway, that's where we are. Good luck with
All
it, Rich.
Right.
Appreciate your call. All right, let's do our last break. I'll do a short version of my book ad. It's for Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening. If you'd like to get a copy, I'd like to sign one for you. I'll put your name right there at the top. I'll say, hi, Rich. Or hi, Diana, or hi, whoever you are. And then I'll sign it, and I'll say happy gardening, and sign it, and date it, and we'll get it in the mail to you. I'd love to do that. That's how I have sold the book for the several years that it's been out. This one is the book I always wanted to have. We're just about ready to go back for reprints of this book, and it will not change. I have no reason to change anything. There's nothing about it that has necessitated any change at all. Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening, Things You Need to Know. Not in stores, not on Amazon, not in any way a redo of my cowboy boot book from 1991. I did not pattern it after that at all. This is self-published, and it's only available from neilsprey.com or by calling my office, 800-752-GROW, during the week. Now, it's 11 chapters, 344 pages, 840 of my photographs, and it covers all aspects of outdoor gardening. I sign every copy, and your satisfaction is completely guaranteed. Only $31.95 plus tax and postage. Here's the way you get it. neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com, or you call my office Monday through Friday, 800-752-4769, but the better way is at neilsperry.com. At Mueller, they believe in value. Their Value Plus buildings are pre-engineered. They feature an easy-to-assemble, bolt-together design. Mueller's durable roofing panels are hail-resistant. They come backed by a 30-year limited paint warranty. But true value never stops at just a quality product at a reasonable price. It shows in the service you receive during your purchase and in how a company stands behind their product after the sale. Mueller understands that buying a steel building or a metal roof for your home can be a lifetime decision, and Mueller will provide assurance before, during, and for decades after your purchase. At Mueller, you simply get more. You get more for your money, more confidence in their company, and that gives you more value. Call Mueller today, 877-2-MUELLER, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. That's 877-2-MUELLER. 888-268-3553 or visit them online at MuellerInc.com. Mueller means more. And we'll have more after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. I hope you have a good Holy Week if you are of the Christian faith, and hope you get a lot of gardening done over this next week. Should be in parts of Texas, a little bit of rain. Hope you get that. Let's go to Diana in Victoria. We've hopped around on this state this day. It's been fun. Diana, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help?
We have a problem with this. I don't know what it's called. It has like a clover leaf. It has a little nut on the root, and it blooms a pink flower in the spring. And it is just taking, oh, it's in the yard, it's in the flower beds. I don't
okay,
know where
look
it came
at,
from.
Google it and see if it's oxalis. It probably is it's oxalis chrysippes, which is a popular perennial that people use as a border flower, and it will escape. You can use a broadleafed weed killer to eliminate it. Hear me carefully and quickly. 2,4-D, like in dandelion, 2,4-D, and then put a drop of liquid dishwashing detergent with each gallon of spray to help it stick on the leaves, and that will take care of it. It may take two or three sprayings.
Well,
I've got to run. I'm out of time. Call me back next week. Happy gardening, everybody.